of us. That is banning, oh God. That is banning, oh God. That is banning, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you for your mighty presence in this place. Glory, 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 glory be to the Lord, my Lord and my God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And everybody said a big, big, big amen. Amen. Say it louder, amen. Oh, say it louder, amen. Say it like you are alive. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. My Lord and my God. I don't know about you, but I get excited. Oh, glory be to God. Well, let's get into our Bible lesson this morning. Acts chapter 1. Verse 1. Thank you so much for coming out. And I pray and hope that everyone had a blessed week. Had a blessed week, and it's always good to come into his presence to study the word of God, to feed upon the written word of God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Acts 1, 1. We are going to look at some of the events that happened after Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead and glean some treasures from there. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with you all that Jesus began to do. Notice the word began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Notice verse 3, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs. Notice that as well. By many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. All that Jesus began to do, all that Jesus began to do, and he appeared to them for 40 days. So this morning we'll look at some of the events that happened during those 40 days and glean the nuggets in there that God has for us. But notice that he said he began to do. So what Jesus came to do in all the 33 years approximately was just the beginning. Think about it. And then the book of Acts covers also an approximately a 33-year period. So I like to think of it this way, that the book of Acts actually reflects the ministry, the beginning of the ministry at the right hand of the Father. All that Jesus began to do, what he did was just the beginning. What he meant, the plan of God is that his disciples will continue the work. And we here as well in our generation, thank God we have taken the baton. Thank God we have taken the baton and we are saying and continuing. Continuing his work through his disciples right now. Thank you, Lord. So all that Jesus began to do. And he says he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs. The King James says by many infallible proofs. Verse 4 says, and while staying with them, he ordained them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Thank you, Lord. He appeared unto them by many infallible proofs. So what happened during these 40 days when he was with the disciples? He said he taught them, speaking about the kingdom of God. And well, let's look at some of the events that happened there. One of the first things that happened there is that he took his blood into the heavenlies to purchase an eternal redemption for us. You see, for first, one of the first things that he, when he came back from the dead, he told Mary Magdalene that, "Don't touch me." John chapter 20, verse 17. John chapter 20, verse 17. "Don't touch me," Jesus said, "because I have not yet ascended to the Father." John chapter 20, verse 17. Actually, we can start from 16. He said, "Jesus said to him, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God.'" He said, "Don't touch me yet. Don't touch me yet. Don't touch me yet. I have not yet ascended to the Father." But later on in Luke chapter 24, verse 39, when he returned, he said, "Touch me. Touch me." Luke 24, verse 39. Glory be to God. It says, "See my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see." So first he said, "Don't touch me." The next time that he comes around and appears, he says, "Touch me." He says, "Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." Notice again that he said flesh and bones, not flesh and blood. Where is the blood? He had taken the blood into the most holy place, like the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. "Flesh don't touch me." The flesh and bones, flesh and bones. The blood had all been emptied out. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. This is one of the events that took place within that 40 days. He says, "For he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption." He took that blood and entered once for all. That's why he was saying, "Don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to the Father." And when he presented the blood, that was the consummation of the whole thing that God had been trying to work on. The Father took that blood and said, "This is good enough. This is good. It had the price to redeem man back to myself has been paid. And so anybody, the way has been open for people to come back to God to secure an eternal redemption for us." Oh, not like the blood of bulls and calves. Oh, but by his own blood. He entered once for and for all. The high priest of the old covenant had to go in every single time, year by year. But thanks be to God, no more. Our Savior, our Lord, has taken his blood in there and has secured for you and I an eternal redemption. Somebody say amen this morning. Oh, glory. Glory be to God. Oh, secured an eternal redemption for us. That's one of the things that happened. And another thing that happened also is he went. You see, before Jesus Christ came, all the Old Testament saints, none of them was born again. None of them was in the kingdom of God yet. Nobody was born again. And so they were being kept in what is called Abraham's bosom. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? When Lazarus died, the Bible says that he went into Abraham's bosom, or he went into paradise. That place has now been emptied because Jesus Christ went there before he was raised from the dead and took all those saints who are trusted in the promises of God, who are trusted in the word of God in the Old Testament. And the Bible says that we'll go to those scriptures. He preached unto them. They were born again, and then he carried them up into the heavenlies. So right there where we are in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12, just going down to verse 15, he says, therefore he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions, notice, committed under the first covenant. A death has occurred that covered. So see it this way. The way I like to picture it, there's a promissory note. Every time they went through all those things, there was a promissory note for their sins. And when Jesus Christ came and presented his blood and it was accepted, that promissory note was cashed. Glory be to God. Since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. Glory be to God. So that those who are called may receive the eternal promise. So he went in there, and the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he went there and preached unto them. And glory be to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Thank you, Lord. Once you see what happened in these 40 days, that will help you. It says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. He was the first person to be born again. He was the first person to be made alive in the spirit. Verse 19, notice it very carefully. In which he went and proclaimed to the spirit in prison. He went and preached to those Old Testament saints who had been held there all up to that point. He went and preached to the spirit in prison. And then before he ascended, exactly that what happened, he carried them with him. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. He went and preached to them. He was the first person to be born again, and then he went and preached to them. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 outlines what happened. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives. Those are the spirit, captives and prisoners, and prisoners are the same. And he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions, the air. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Oh, he ascended on high and led a host of captives. And all to our Bible scholars believe that what a cloud that went up with him when he was going up into heaven, and that was those Old Testament saints that he carried along with him. Glory be to God. So we see that happening as well within this 40 days. Thank you, Lord. Another thing, another interesting story, another interesting thing that happens is, we read about the story when he met the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 35. Glory be to God. My Lord and my God. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. He is alive. Notice what he says. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said, in other words, where have you been? Where have you been all this time? And in verse 19, and he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning." Thank God the women announced his resurrection first. "And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who went with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see. And they said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is toward the evening and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he sat at table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road?'" Notice, while he opened to us the scriptures. And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And notice verse 44 as well. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law and Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their mind to understand the scriptures. Oh, glory be to God. That's what makes the difference. One of the things that we see him doing is that first he said he opened, did not our hearts burn while he opened to us the scriptures. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, in this season, as we still remember what has happened, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the light of God's word will be open to you concerning the circumstances of your life. In any area of your life, may the scriptures be open. Be expectant this morning. Be expectant in this season. The Lord, let my eyes be open to see the word that you have for me in this season. Glory be to God. Like the psalmist of old says, "Open my eyes to see wondrous things out of your law." Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Thank you, Father. Oh, this book remains closed without the help of the Holy Spirit. But thanks be to God, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. He opened their eyes to see the scriptures. You see, in Acts chapter 1, they were talking about the fact that they thought that they were asking him, "Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel this time?" They thought he was coming to set up an earthly kingdom. They didn't know what was going on. but he opened their eyes and showed them things concerning himself. You see, well, that's what makes the difference. In any area of our life, the thing that makes the difference is the light of God's word. My Lord, Paula was on fire this morning. We should turn her loose, but she had it very right. The difference is the light that an individual has. It's the light that makes the difference. It's the light of God's word, the opening up of the scriptures. That's what makes the difference. In any area, in any area, in any area. Oh, I remember when we had our first child, the doctor said, you cannot have any more children. And we took the word of God and put it into ourselves. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 14 talks about the fact that there will be none barren among you, including your cattle. If even cattle in the Old Testament wouldn't be barren, how much more we in the New Covenant, that the Bible talks about the fact that we have better promises. And we said, no, we'll have more children, and we did. We had two more. No, so when the light of God's word came, and another time we were praying with a woman, every time that she got pregnant, she had a miscarriage. It kept just going on and on and on and on. And we opened up the word of God to her that said, none of you will miscarry. Not even your cattle. Amen. As soon as she saw it, the light of God's word came. That was her freedom. You see, the Bible says, you shall know the truth. And when it says in another place, it says that your word is truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The entrance of his word brings light. Yes. And glory be to God. She has children. Two sons. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. The light of God's word is what makes the difference. When I saw in the Bible, Matthew chapter 8 verse 17, that he himself took my sicknesses and my infirmity. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, he talks about the fact that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, but that we might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. That's when I said, there is no point the two of us bearing sickness together. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. He himself took. I pray this morning that you get the revelation. Oh, no sentence has to be served twice. If he has taken it, then there is no point. Remember what we read? He himself bore the sins once and for all. He bore the sickness once and for all. And so it is illegal in my body. Yes. That's when I decided that I will walk in health. Thank you, Father. I'll do all that I can do from a physical standpoint, but my life and my health is from him. And another time I saw another one again. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Oh, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you by his poverty might become rich. That's when I decided that I will not be numbered with the poor again. Jesus said, you always have the poor among you. He refused to classify himself with the poor. I want to be classified with the people that are helping the poor. Amen. He's changed my position. Yes. Notice that. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake, I put my name there, put your name there, he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Remember the message from last Sunday? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the healthy among the sick? Why are you looking for the rich among the poor? He has paid all that. Now switch. And he said, I want to be among the ones that are laying hands on the sick to be healed, not to be the one to be sick. You see, it makes a difference once you make we make that adjustment in our hearts. Glory be to God. You see, the kingdom of God is made up of keys. Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 verse 19 talks about the fact that I give you keys. Keys denote access. It's made up of keys. So once he opens up his word to you, once he gives you the keys, then it puts you in charge. Matthew chapter 16 verse 19. Thank you, Lord. Notice what he says. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. I give you what? Keys. This morning he is giving you keys. When we finish service, you have a key to your car. You don't get to the car and start screaming, car start. Car, would you please start? You get to your car and you confidently, because you have the key, you unlock the car, put the key in, and you turn your ignition and you're on your way. Hallelujah. You are on your way. Glory be to God. That's what he's talking about. I give you the keys. I'm giving you access to all that I have. Oh, glory. My Lord and my God, I give you the keys. That puts you in control. It puts you in control. Thank you, Father. So he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And then in John chapter 21, we see another incident as well where he appeared to them. John chapter 21. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. John chapter 21. I love the story so much. This also happened within those 40 days. John 21 verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? He answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciples whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. While they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. My Lord. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, notice the phrase, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. My Lord, breakfast made by Jesus. Oh, how I have to have some of those. Now, breakfast hot and made by Jesus. My Lord and my God. Fish and bread from Jesus. Notice what he said. Jesus said to them, Verse 12, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples then asked him, who are you? They knew that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. Now, it was the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Judah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you did not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Glory be to God. Simon Peter said, well, we are going fishing. That night, he caught nothing to show for his effort. It reminded him of the previous incident in Luke chapter 5 and in Matthew chapter 4. Nothing to show for his efforts. But when Jesus Christ came, he says, cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find, and you will find, and you will find, and you will find. Oh, and he obeyed that instruction. Oh, in this season after the resurrection, I pray that every instruction that God gives us, may we receive grace to obey that instruction. He said, cast it on the right side. They can stand there all day long and put it on the left side. They won't get anything. Do it exactly the way he said, do it. Cast it on the right side. And when they cast it on the right side, they caught a multitude of fish that they could not haul in. He knows where your supply is. He knows where the fish, your supply is. Cast it on the right side. Oh, I pray. That's what makes the difference. Believing, receiving, and every instruction that is given to us, making a commitment that, Lord, as you open it up into me in the Bible, as I hear it preached, Lord, I will obey. Lord, I will do it. And when you do that, Get ready, because the miracles are on the other side of the obedience. In the mighty name of Jesus, in this season, in any area of your life where there is emptiness, where there is brokenness, where there is lack, I pray as you take steps to obey the word of God, may your life be filled. May the miracles that you are looking for be granted and delivered. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. My Lord. As we endeavor to obey in this season, oh, miracles, may that be our portion. Cast it on the right side and you will find. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And notice he said that the net was not breaking. The net was a solid one. Not like the one that he used in the previous incident where it broke. Think about it. This time he had learned his lesson. And then verse 15, after he had breakfast, Jesus asked him, do you love me more than this? More than the fish? More than what I can even provide? Do you love me? Do you love me? Three times he asked him that question. Do you love me? Where is your heart? Where is your allegiance? Who are you committed to? He said, Lord, you know that I love you. Then Jesus said, if you love me, don't just love me in words. Put it your love to action. Put accent to your word. Put accents to your word. If you love me, put accent to your words. That's what makes the difference in the kingdom of God. Loving God and then putting that love into action. Lord, if I love you, I am going. It's our next point. We're coming up to it soon here. If I love you, Lord. What did I say? Sometimes I get lost. I love you, Lord. I will do your word. In this season, I pray that our love for God, will grow, will intensify more and more. Lord, you are the one that I love. You mean more to me than anything else. Lord, you are the one that I love. Lord, you are the one that I love. Nothing else matters more than you. He says, if you love me, put action to the law. And then lastly, he said to him, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. That consistent decision, the Lord, I will follow you. That's what makes the difference. Earlier on, he had told him, In Matthew, he said, I told him that follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and I will make you. Our making in life is in following the Lord Jesus Christ. As soon as we start following him, we're in trouble. But thank God, in the name of Jesus, today you may, no matter where you are, as you consistently follow him, he will make you. He will make you. He has a plan for your life. But the key is consistently following him. Not following him one day and not following him another day. No, but Lord, making a conscious decision that I will follow you. Follow me and I will make 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 you. Follow me, Matthew 4:19, and I will make you. He made a decision. Jesus said, follow me. And Peter said, yes, I will follow you. And then finally, one of the things that happened is also in those 40 days is he gave them that great commission. We already read a portion of it in Acts chapter 1. But let's see what our apostle Mark has to say about it. Mark chapter 16, verse 14. It all happened within those 40 days. Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. He says, afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. The gospel is for the whole creation. The gospel is for everybody. It's for every race, every tribe, every nation. Go and do that. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Expect these signs to accompany you in this season. You are a believer. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he has spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. By accompanying signs. Oh, in the name of Jesus, these went out. These went out. These went out. They took literally what Jesus was saying. It went to the whole creation. Oh, you know what they were preaching? They were preaching the gospel. What is the gospel? The fundamental meaning of the gospel means good news. Good news, good news, good news. That's the same good news that Jesus Christ was preaching. He said in Luke chapter 4, good news, the gospel is good news. What is the good news? Glory be to God. The same thing that Jesus preached after he came down from the mountain. Oh, verse 18, he said, look for 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. We owe and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. No wonder. It's the same Luke writing the book of Acts. He said, what Jesus Christ began to do. So they went out and began to preach the same thing. What is good news to the poor? Poor man, you don't have to be poor anymore. Jesus has paid the price for you. Good news to the poor. What is good news to the captive? You don't have to remain in the captivity of sin anymore. Jesus has once for all paid for your sins. For your sins to go, for you to be free from those sins and bondages. Your captivity must come to an end. What is good news to the blind? Blind man, you don't have to be blind anymore. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Open your eyes and see. Oh, liberty to those who are oppressed. Oh, oppressed man, you don't have to be oppressed anymore. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Today is the day of liberty. That is the gospel. Oh, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, in any area of your life where it feels like you are in captivity, I pray that you go free in the name of Jesus. In any area of your life where you need divine intervention, may the Lord Jesus Christ himself, may God himself move on your behalf. May there be tangible proofs of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Oh, he says he showed himself by many infallible proofs. May the proofs that the fact that Jesus Christ is alive be made manifest in your life this season. Anything in your life that doesn't reflect the fact that Jesus is alive and Jesus is for you, I pray that it be turned around in the name of Jesus. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Oh, he showed himself. Be in expectation this season. Don't take it lightly. Jesus is still appearing to people. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. I read somewhere right here in the spring, he appeared to somebody. Don't take this season for granted. Oh, in any, in any area of your life where you need him to show up, be in expectancy. He's alive. Somebody say he's alive. He's alive. He's not dead. And then commit to following him and sharing this good news with everybody that you come into contact with. Oh, glory be to God. I've done it again. I've preached myself happy. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. be to God. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He is so good. Oh, he's so good. He means everything to me. Oh, let's close our eyes and pray. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. My Lord, his presence is here. Oh, glory, 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 glory. My. Talk to God and say, Lord, I want to love you more in this season. Let my love for you go to another level. Oh, I want to obey you. Every instruction that you give to me, I receive grace to obey you. I receive grace to consistently follow you. And I receive grace, Lord, to share your word with our hurt and well. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, lift up your voice to God. Lift up your voice to God and say, Lord, a greater love for you. And not only love you in words, but put action to those words. In the mighty name of Jesus, talk to him. Talk to him, 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 talk to him. Talk to him, talk to him, talk to him, talk to him, talk to him. Oh, Shabbat. Talk to him, talk to him, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, talk to him, talk to him, talk to him, talk to him. Talk to him, talk to him, talk to him, talk to him. Talk to him, talk to him, talk to him, talk to him. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Oh, I give you the keys. 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 And then also pray in any area of your life where you need the power of his resurrection to be made manifest. Oh, where you need the proofs of his resurrection in your life, in any area of your life this morning, talk to God and say, Lord, tangible proofs that people will see, tangible proofs that people will see that you are alive and at work in my life, and decide that because of what you are doing in my life, they will follow me to serve my God. In the mighty name of Jesus, let there be the proofs, proofs of your resurrection in my life. In the mighty name of Jesus, talk to him this morning. Talk to him this morning. Oh, he appeared to them by tangible proofs. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, my Lord and my God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And if you are listening to this and you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, but you say, I want this thing that you are talking about, to know the Lord Jesus and to be a follower or a student or a disciple of Jesus. Oh, to experience this liberty that you are proclaiming this morning. This freedom, you say, I have never known freedom. From sin, from sickness, or from lack, or from anything else. But this morning, I want to experience this freedom. Just say, Lord Jesus, I've heard your word. I believe you were raised from the dead. Lord, save me. Lord, I believe, I confess with my mouth, Jesus, as Lord. And thank you, I'm saved. Glory be to God. We love you and we will never stop. We love you and we will never stop. We love you and we will never stop. Thank you for your deliverance. In the name of Jesus. Let's raise our hands and I'll pray for us before we go. Thank you, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, that the power of his resurrection will speak in your life in this season, in the name of Jesus. May they be tangible proofs in your life, in this season, in the name of Jesus. May he give you a testimony this week. In Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus. In your finances, in your family, in your relationship, Lord, let there be in your body. May the life of God be made manifest. No sickness. In the name of Jesus. And may you be empowered to be a witness of his resurrection, beginning right there in your sphere of influence. In Jesus' mighty name, may he lead you to someone to bring them into the kingdom of God in this season. May God bless you. May he keep you. And may he cause his face to shine on you. And if that's you, say a big, big amen.
My Lord and my God. Glory be to God.